you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
This podcast is not for the faint of heart, close-minded, bitch niggas, or people without a sense of humor. Please keep in mind that we do not condone violence of any sort. Our sole purpose of this podcast is to have fun. Please enjoy.
I'm up on the bow. Shiggity bim 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 boop boppy. Another episode of No Need for Apology. Oh, yeah. What's going on? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a special episode of No Need for Apologies. I am Derek Gaines, and that...
Napoleon Emile.
My special guest, Naptown City Man, Napoleon Emile. One of the coolest, slickest, just smooth-talking motherfuckers in comedy I've ever met. The dude just goes up with his fun... You know, Horton Hears a Who type comedy. and says beautiful.
Can I quote this on my
set? Yeah.
I can put
he's like the fucking Horton black hip hop Horton Hears a Who style. Napoleon has been funny ever since I met him. The motherfucker has a take on the jokes that I love, and he is my guest for today because Monroe Nutass
went guest to, host. Guest host.
He took a gig. It was like, hey, yo, just find somebody to cover for me. I need to make this bread. And I'm like, yeah, you married, nigga. I understand.
Shout out to Monroe. Super busy, bro.
Shout out to Monroe. One of the most cynical, wonderful comics in New York. My best friend in the world. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we're here. And we had a guest, but I don't know what happened. So we're just, it's going to be me and Napoleon just kicking it. We're going to talk some shit for about an hour, you know, and see what the fuck y'all feel like. Oh, and by the way. Out now, Fuckboy Ground Zero on all platforms, iTunes and Google Play. I'm on Tidal, right?
All right, that's big shit,
I'm on Tidal, too. I'm on Jay-Z shit.
Congrats, bro.
So Beyonce and them trying to listen to my shit.
I got Tidal.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Laugh it up. I did an hour about, not necessarily just sex jokes, but more so a grown man just trying to be single in New York and doing what he can.
Yeah, an elder bachelor.
Yeah. Like a bachelor's love story, right?
Traveling, metropolitan, busy, working, professional.
Yeah, professional. Yeah. And he met some ladies on the way that inspired him to tell a story. So Fuckboy Ground Zero is not necessarily just a dirty sex album. I'm not pornographic. I love my mother too much. I grew up in church. It's an explanation. And fuckboy is just a trigger to make women go, what the fuck is he talking about?
So you're just controlling the narrative then?
Yeah. So it's like I talk about my grandma, I talk about the narrative, the origin of why I think I am the way I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, why I'm single and, you know, being a product of a good divorce. And, you know, my mom was single for a long time and I grew up with my mom and I saw her, you know, just navigate as a single woman. Not to say she was fucking everybody because she wasn't, thank God. But, like, the deep thing is, until she finds somebody, like I probably won't find somebody because if I go out and then meet a chick and fall in love, I feel like I'm going to leave my mom.
Your mom has always been single.
My mom's pretty much been single.
So that's like just your, that's just the example.
Yeah.
So that's just like how you, that's just you're used to that state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's like, I feel fucking weird. I know people be like, it's weird because I always told my mom, I was like, mom, when you find a man, maybe I can go ahead and find me a chick and then go because I don't want you to be by yourself.
Yeah.
On the level of, you're going to be lonely if I go fall in love with a chick and we traveling, you sitting on your ass. I don't want that.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Does your mom travel with you?
Yeah. She does come to some, all my bigger shit. Like if I got some big shit in LA. Like I remember.
She'll pull up?
She'll pull up. Word. Like I remember I felt like a G. This the first day I felt like a G doing stand up and shit. When I filmed my first episode of Will and Grace. That's her first favorite show. Yeah. And I filmed it right around her birthday. So for her birthday, she was sitting in a live audience watching her son do her favorite sitcom. I thought that was pretty fucking fly.
That's dope.
So yeah, so you know, me and my mom are tight. So therefore, this with it. Fuckboy Ground Zero. It's a mama boy. It's a mama's boy. Trail Oregon Trail through navigating through New York, meeting all kinds of women. And it's just a fun take, so listen to it. It'll be good. Nap, you got any comedy albums or anything coming up?
No albums coming up.
You just in there, you just crushing the streets.
Just
grind, I get it.
Just grind. I'm
you know how long it took? I'm not dissing, because it took me 16 years to produce this shit, so I'm like, I'm late.
That is one of my goals for this year, 2020, because yeah. I'm doing a lot more, I'm going out doing a lot more headlining spots and stuff like that, so I'm trying to build something right now.
Okay.
I feel like that's one of the personal goals that I have, wanting to put out something that's like a piece of work.
Okay.
As a comic.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Something to achieve, too. Congrats, man. That's dope as fuck, man.
Say again?
I was like, so congrats, man.
Oh, thank you.
Knock that out, man. That's dope.
Yeah, I finally got something out to make me feel like, because that's really my business card.
Like, I feel like I've seen you do like hours before. Like,
just, yeah, and they all stunk. Let's be the fuck real. I've done so many hours in Philly and they stunk. And then I listened back and be like, what the fuck? Because I hate my voice.
So this is the first one you felt like you have like a flow throughout.
Yeah, I was flowing.
Continuity.
Like it felt like I was in there cooking for real.
Liked it as a piece.
Yeah, and the ceilings was low, so the laughs bounced out of the speakers right. And then, you know.
Why'd you think the other one stunk?
Because when I did my joint in the punchline's too big. Punchline's like a department store. It's like the high ceilings. And it's just, yeah, you was there. And then the sound of it didn't really, the mics didn't pick up people laughing. So I felt like I was just talking into an empty convention center.
I thought it was pretty good, though. I was there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But I listened back to it.
I get what you mean, though. Yeah.
But I was listening back to it. I was like, this shit is ass. And I was like, nope, I'm not. And then I didn't like how I was. And I was real sniffly that day because it was cold in Philly.
Yeah.
And then, so
like
I was
Christmas,
like.
Christmas, like 2 years
ago. Yeah. So I scrapped it. I was like, fuck. I spent like $1,300 and blew it. And I was like, I called dude. I was like, look, man, you can mix it, but just throw that shit out when you're done. Because I was like, that shit stink. Like, I listened to it, I was like, I was like mad at myself a little bit. Like, nigga, you've been doing comedy this long, and this is all you can produce? So I kind of turned up. After that, I start really hitting the mic. I start really getting on stage. Like, bah, bah, bah.
I think it's the way we run around in this city. You know, everything is kind of like, you have so many comics here, so it's like the gym. Everything is like a showcase. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody's doing 10, 15, 20.
Yeah.
Best. So you're not really doing that long form. So you get on stage for that long. It's like, after a while, I always feel like, all right, this was, to this point is my flow. Everything else is like, I'm just going to give you bits that I know work.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Until the end.
Yeah, man. I just was on the road with Pete Davidson in DC and, you know, running around out there. That's a real comedy town, man. Where? That's a DC, Washington DC. Yeah. It's a comedy town. They came out, and you know, and that was exercise because I was doing. We did 7 shows, so 7. I had a real chance to really work shit out. So it's like, listening to me now, I go, okay, I'm funnier than I was before because I rushed them. To be honest with you, I was just rushing it because I thought, you know, that time, tell me, you know how women be like, I gotta have a baby, and I was like, I gotta put out an album, and then when I put it out, it wasn't. Nah.
How long you doing comedy for?
It'll be 17 years this July.
17 years.
Yeah.
Congrats.
And I count them first 5 in Philly, too. Don't try to count me out, New York.
You wouldn't count that.
Because motherfuckers be like, yeah, you didn't really start till you moved here. I'm like, kiss my ass. I became a local celebrity in Philly before I even tried to touch New York. Yeah. I spent 5 years in that city just establishing, and I was the nigga from the suburbs that could come to Philly and fuck with the goons. Like, I was out there like, all right, I could play in front of the North Philly crowd. I could play in front of the South Philly crowd, just like y'all, but I'm going to have to really write. Yeah. And I was writing those acronyms. That's who I was, the acronym guy at first. But then Philly opened me up to New York because it was a tough crowd there.
Yeah.
It wasn't soft ever. That's the beauty of this shit. It was never really a soft start. Philly was mean.
Did you hit the rooms in the suburbs too, though?
Yeah. I went to Cherry Hill. I did Rascals Comedy Club in the hotel. And that's where all the white tourists, white whatever the fuck, people coming in.
So you was doing that like simultaneously?
I was doing mainstream and hood at the same time.
Yeah, when I was open mic, and that's how I would do it. I would open mic in the hood, like doing those rooms, those alt rooms. This is like a better way to stay funny. Because those alt rooms, they're to like appreciate jokes.
Yeah, man.
Black rooms, you got to like kill. You got to like be a funny person.
To be a tactic, like a mainstream room will help you be a tactician. And then the hood room will make you a showman.
Yes.
So when you put it together, goddamn, yeah. A showman and a tactician, like, so you're not just getting all, like, Dante, shout out Dante Nero. Dante Nero was talking to me last night about how, you know, your personality can sell a punchline that's kind of cheesy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Sometimes it's who's saying it versus yeah. whether it's funny on paper. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then you got tacticians just standing there with no personality and got joke for joke, joke, joke for joke, joke, joke. And the pristine nigga, the comic to be is the motherfucker that can mix them together.
That's like LeBron.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You have an athlete and somebody who works hard at what they do.
Yeah.
So, like, I always feel like, yeah, you got two types of good comics. You got guys that write well and guys that are naturally funny.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the same exact thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, if you're naturally funny, you know, the advantage that you have is that you can become a good writer.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're a good writer, I'm like, you can, like, you know, there's still wit there, but it's different, I imagine. Like, learning how to write is something I feel like is
yeah, you gotta
just take the effort. Yeah.
I'm gonna get this motherfucker show. I'm gonna talk him up now. So in April, I'm gonna bring him in. Toure Gordon. Toure kind of showed me the
he puts on a clinic.
He puts on a clinic. He has a comedy class that I get shitted on for by some people. Nigga, you went to school for comedy? Like, this whole, what? You took classes, nigga? And I was like, I needed some direction. I didn't know what to do when I was fucking 19 to 20 years old. Because I was just out there just trying to do stuff, and I was writing these shitty, didn't know how to write a joke jokes. And then Toure was like, nigga, if you put it in threes, you'll be all right. He's basically the sensei. He kind of just showed me how to premise bridge punchline it.
Setup tag punch.
He set up tag, either setup tag punch, premise bridge punchline, tag, all that, all them little algorithms I learned from two, because I was up there just being physical. I was falling around, gabba, 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 just doing the bullshit. And, you know, I wanted to be like, I didn't want to just be some, you know, a clown. I wanted to have some shit with me. So, you know, you got to learn how to write.
Excuse me.
Got to learn how to write a few jokes, shit. And then, you know, after a while, you fall in love with how jokes work.
Yeah.
On how many styles and angles you could take.
You learn a way, and then it's like you get excited about that. But I'm always, like, reinventing how I feel.
Absolutely. It's rap game.
I think I found a way.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'll have a joke or two that works in this way that I think I'm, like, producing it.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, I find another way, or I hate this way again.
Uh-huh.
And so it's always forever, like, yeah. That's the excitement of it, I guess. It's a challenge. Definitely a challenge.
Yeah, if you want to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to keep changing up your material every time, or you want to keep trying to make bits tighter and make bits funnier, ringing it out.
I mean, like, that's the work. Yeah. I mean, the challenge to me is, like, more or less the showtime. That's the challenge, like, getting that stuff out the way I want it. Like, the reaction.
And you got to get it. And while the topic is hot, if you're doing topical shit, and it's got to be different because, you know, 8 million motherfuckers going to remix it.
How to sell it.
How to
perform it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you said earlier, it's like you could say things in a funny way that may not necessarily be funny on paper.
Yeah.
Like, you just, it's your energy. And people fuck with that. They like you. They want you to win. They'll laugh at it. All of that.
But yeah.
You got to, like, kind of, you know, keep true to that. Like, keep your energy in the, and more of, I guess, like a, like, how you know you are off stage, on stage, comfortability type of shit.
Yeah. You should always turn it down when you're off stage, though. Don't be the same nigga. I mean, be the same nigga in personality, but don't.
I feel like I'm the same
niggas
nigga.
Some motherfuckers be on 10 up there and then be on 9 off stage, and you be like, come on, man.
Turn it off.
Or you be still doing bits. I can't stand that shit.
Oh, yeah.
That's a motherfucking third showing. That's that third show shit. Let me explain what the third show is. The third show
at the diner.
Yeah, the third show. Listen, what the fuck I'm talking about. So therefore, you have people who do showmen, people who do shit on stage. But then, when we're all hanging out at the bar, they still act like they on stage. That's the third show.
Yeah,
when they doing extra, or you get the motherfucker that can't do jokes that does jokes. At the party. Like, so at the party, you can see him show, like, he'll be playing a harmonica or some horse shit, or he'll be talking extra loud when he sees a group of girls, like, in earshot.
Or, like, on the train when y'all leaving the show.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's shit. That's that third show shit. So I try to stay away from that when you're doing extra.
Stay away from people or stay away from doing it yourself?
Stay away from doing it myself. Like, be genuinely cool in front of these girls. Just don't be acting like you the life of the party. Just be the life of the party by being a real
present.
Be there, just be but don't present. Be extra. Don't be doing magic tricks and shit. Shout out to Matt Richards.
But shout that's out to him one though. Of the that is him though. Yeah. He don't even do that on stage.
Matt
really.
Be doing.
He's waiting on an April.
Yeah. April body. That's the name.
Back.
Yeah, bring her in. Yeah. Oh, we got a guest. All right, we got a guest
now
coming.
We
got
to be for real.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for our guest, April Body.
Hi.
Well, how's it going? It's good to see you.
Good.
Now, April, where did we meet again?
I've seen you around as comics, right?
Okay.
But remember when Amina had the show at the Mist and there was a drum? Right?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
You know how comics will like fuck with you, be like, yeah, take the drum on stage. Yeah. And you was like, I'm going to do that.
Oh, shit. I remember when I took the Kunga drum on stage.
Yeah, you was just doing your set. If, I don't know what it was that you was like, every time I do this, I'm going to be like, just for us.
So yeah. It was for y'all in the back. Because right. The crowd was like, it was five of the motherfuckers in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like five people. And then Alex Babbitt, April was there.
Yes.
And then there was a Kunga drum in the back. And it was like, you should probably just take that on stage and play after every punchline or some shit like that. And for I was no like, reason. Why not? It ain't but six
like
of us
the
here.
Piano, like the piano?
And
like
told us. So I kept, minutes, I, so I say a joke. And I go, doop, doop, doop. And then sometime it'd laugh. And then I do another joke.
Right.
And then after a while, people start laughing. Carrying the fuck on.
It works as a callback.
It was Chappellian. It was a very Chappellian move.
Yeah.
Because Chappelle did it. And it worked, and I was like, to take him, not to steal, but to, because you can't really, you know, you can, it's the essence of Chappelle.
Right,
you go,
right,
well,
yeah.
I've seen him do it. Maybe homage. I could do this for this five people. It's homage. So, yeah. But, so that's, okay. Now it's all coming
so
back.
So it was a fun time then. That was a good.
Yeah, I was like, I hope that we didn't meet on some weird shit.
How long ago was that? Like,
remember that? No.
Miss, that'd be like 2 years ago?
Was it 2 years ago?
Three, maybe?
Like three.
Two? Three? Whenever Amina was hosting that shit.
I can't keep up with time. Like, today's
Saturday,
it's a blur. Right?
It's a blur.
Like,
New York.
Yeah.
What's up?
If you could just make sure you stay close to your mic.
Oh, yeah. You got it. Oh, yeah. That's so much.
Okay.
But no. So how's it going?
Good.
What's the haps, Miss Lady? So I'm glad we didn't meet on some. I was an asshole to you because I get that a lot.
Word.
No fuck boy shit.
Everybody, a lot of chicks I meet up top. And it's always
I know you. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah. And you'd be like, good to see you again. I'd be like, what happened?
We'll save this for the show. No, it's good terms.
Swerve.
Nothing bad.
I always love when I'm on good terms with a black lady. It's always nice.
What you be doing, Derek?
Because I don't know, because people are not like they say shit to me wrong. Or
don't let it slide.
I'll never let, because I go, this is how I remember you now, because that's how I think. If we had like a bad conversation, okay, that's where we at.
Right.
That's where we at. So the next time I meet, it's probably going to be another bad conversation.
So the next, I'll be like, so Derek, at one time.
And I'll be like, what? So I'm glad it was because most of the time.
Apologizing that dude about what he did at midnight.
Yeah, because I'll be like, because I don't be knowing. Because somebody say some shit that was wrong or some white, drunk white chick try to reach for my curls.
The sun is out, let me apologize.
Oh, yeah, don't touch the hair.
Yeah. Huh. Or some shit happened. But anyway.
And they be listening to Solange and still doing it.
Right.
So, yeah. So, I find out that y'all was talking about getting on No Need for Apologies at some point, right?
Yeah.
No.
I was saying that I done it, and you were saying you were doing it, right?
I thought he just made it like you. He was like, we need to have you on the podcast.
Oh, yes. I went there with Monroe. Yes. We were.
So, when he was like, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to have a special guest. I thought you knew that you was the special.
That's so funny.
Did he gesture?
He didn't say your name. He was just like, we'll have a special guest. Was probably called for We Ain't Booked Nobody Yet.
Yeah, because we didn't. Because I had hit up Matt to do it, and then Matt was like, I can't do it today. And I was like, all right. And then Chloe's gone, Dave Temple's gone, and I was like, who else is funny? And Reggie's in L.A. Menuhin is, you know, fighting
people.
You
had a list. Who else is funny? Menuhin is fighting. Five more people before he
was like,
got
Tom
to
doing
you.
Something
but
else.
I'm like,
Foley's
nah.
Busy.
But nah, I was like, then I went, nah.
80 comics later. You know who I got.
And I'm not
you know what
saying?
Happened? He was on IG and like a story popped
yeah,
up.
Right?
Like, there you go. All right.
Nah, fuck around. I thought of you second. I thought of you absolutely second. I said, if Matt can't do it, Napoleon. But nah, so basically this is what happened. So I was like, fuck. Everybody dimed out. I called you. You say, yeah, I'll do it. Y'all going, oh, nah, it didn't happen like that. Because Ro was like, yeah, April Body's coming in. You can and just get a host, whoever the fuck. It's on you. I booked a gig. What? I woke up at 11:35 today, like, shit.
I know he invited me on. He ain't even here, but it's all good.
Yeah, I know, right? That's crazy. That's like when you get...
Reg in L.A. I get it.
Everybody's... But I appreciate y'all. So, what's the story? Just tell me what's going on. Comedy and all kinds of fun shit. We want to know what April will be about.
First of all, is April Body your real name?
I have several. Okay,
that sounds like a burlesque name. I'm sorry, it's very burlesque.
This is the thing. It's the way that it's spelled. It's B O D D I E. Right?
Oh, okay.
No one ever says Bodie. So when I started doing comedy, Bodie, people would be like, "Body, booty." Like since I was a kid, people would be like,
"So is actually pronounced Bodie?"
Yeah.
April Bodie. Now it makes sense.
April Body does pop.
Because I was like, she sounds like she's does sex model, parties.
Right? That's the thing. Then it's also mixed with like April Body coming. What you gonna do on stage?
Yeah. April Body, like, okay, April.
I don't know if to go because I got tired of people messing up my name when they would call me on stage.
Start talking about cell phones.
And my homeboy. Right?
Yeah. You ever been in Verizon, y'all?
Right.
I'm like, whoa, what?
Yeah. And this dude was like, nah, you should go with Body that sticks. But
what dude said this?
Exactly.
Some goof nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah, call it Body.
So I was like, I'll go with that. And then the funny thing, so I spelled it B-O-D-Y and people started saying Bodie. And I'm like, really? How?
Because they assumed it wasn't Body.
Like, there's no way. Yeah.
So
that's
wow.
Body.
That's a rocking. That's between a rock and a hard place. A body and a Bodie or whatever.
But I hate booty like that.
No,
that ain't
don't
fly
set
either.
Your say. Don't set yourself up for that.
Yeah.
You know.
God, give it for April Booty. I'm pretty sure somebody said that.
Even
April
people, booty. I feel like telemarketers be like booty. I'm like, no, that's not. Be dying to say it, but
I
no.
Got you. Where are you from?
I'm from Atlanta.
Oh, over there in ATL.
Off of 85?
Yeah.
Did you start out there?
I did. I moved most of Atlanta, most of my life. I moved there when I was like 10.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad was like, we lived in College Park. And my dad was like, nah, we're going to go to the burbs. So okay. I grew up in Norcross. And then I moved
there. Okay. I'm cul-de-sac black too.
Right. Yeah. And I went to Georgia State for black. A little bit, dropped out. And then I was like, oh, let me try comedy. So I did that. I started in Atlanta. And then I've been here 10 years. March would be 10 years.
Damn. In New York.
Yeah. That's why I was
it's
like.
Nice. It'll be my 11th
that's
year.
A nice clip.
This winter. I mean, this December coming up. December 2020 will be my
where
11th
year. Where are you from?
Year. I'm from the Philly, South Jersey area.
Philly, South Jersey.
So basically, let me break this down.
Okay.
Philly, South Jersey is
he's
incredibly close.
Is that what he's
saying? That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. Philly,
tunnel.
South Jersey is incredibly close. So from 2 to 14, this is why I have to say I was raised in both parts. Because from 2 to 14, I lived in Philly. I went, you know, middle school, high school. And then my mom got a job in South Jersey right across the Ben Franklin Bridge. Yeah. And then I lived in Jersey, hung out, became whatever in Jersey. But then when I was able to party again, when I was old enough to start clubbing, we went back to Philly because shit wasn't shit in South Jersey. So we used to go back to Philly. So I used to hang in Philly. So all of a sudden, I'm partying in Philly, dancing, popping, locking. I'm in a breakdance gang, but at the same time, I was all that. KDI, Captain Pop. King Derek is Captain Pop. I used to be in a dance gang. I was the designated popper
gangs?
Of the group. I was in a
that's
gang.
A cute
in
03, way to be like, we hard, but we dancing.
03, 04, 05. But here's
45
the thing.
45 minutes home.
And we'd be sweating in the car, drinking YYTs and shit.
Back to the cul-de-sac.
Right.
I go back to the suburb.
That's so cul-de-sac. We're in a dance gang.
Stop that Wendy's on the
yeah,
way
Yeah, man.
Put some respect on it.
Whole suburb. But I used to go into the city to be, and all that shit. So.
You stay around here?
Nah. Nah, I got bunnies in my front yard. They get like, it's for real.
Yeah, we had deers.
So from 18 to like 24, I was out there partying. I was out there telling jokes. And I was out there, you know, living. I was dating chicks from out around Philly. So it was like, yeah. So it was like, I'm from both. Because I just went back. And then I got the bug, moved up here in 09. So, yeah. And then I've been here since 09. So, yeah. So Philly, South Jersey, and I came up here. But
so
born in Cali.
For 10 years.
Yeah.
And you from?
North Carolina.
Yeah, you from North Carolina.
So, Southern nurse.
Been up here for 5 years.
Okay.
So, right off, yeah, like I said, right off 85, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Know.
So that's the deal. So
I used
we
to
all
party in Atlanta.
I know.
Mansion and a
is
few
this
other spots.
Or before Freaknik? Like before or after Freaknik?
This is after Freaknik. This is like first term Obama years. Like,
wait, what did you call it?
Huh?
What you call it?
First term Obama year?
First term Obama.
Okay, okay.
So, yeah, niggas was partying.
This is like 08, 09.
That's what my fucking. Fuck the police, come straight from underground. Yeah.
Like, any concerns? Hipsters were out. You know, nobody gave a shit. People were riding unicycles.
Chris Rock had a joke about that shit. It was so funny. He was like, if Obama is elected on Tuesday, do not travel on Wednesday. Because motherfuckers are not carrying your bags. It was like, yeah, we got a black president, motherfucker. Carry on, goddamn. Right. Carry on suitcase. I ain't doing shit today. Like, that shit was great. Yeah, so no, we was a little cocky then.
Yeah.
We was a little cocky
great
then.
Great time.
Yeah. Speaking of cocky or arrogant.
Yes.
This is something I've been thinking about. I could talk to y'all as comments.
Okay.
It could be a bit, but I've never done it on a stage, so I feel like this is fair game.
Okay.
So I could steal it?
Yeah, you can actually take it if you want. I've always thought this because, you know, it's like talking about the arrogance of black people. Do you think Superman could have happened if he landed on a black person's yard? Because I think black homeowners are just too arrogant to let him have been Superman.
Like, if it was like a black baby landed on a black person's yard, they would have kept that a secret. They were like, hey, man.
Yeah.
And they probably would have
kept that a hardcore secret.
Yeah. Like,
he probably would have grown old and died without being a superhero.
My whole take was.
It's like the best worker.
Yeah. Because my whole take was, I was like, I don't think they would have gave a fuck he had powers, because the arrogance of a black homeowner is something that's bigger than any Superman. Like, you know how much I paid for this goddamn house?
The sky. Like, what the fuck?
He'd still be like, go cut the grass with that. Take your powers and do something right.
Fly the trash up out of here.
Right. Yeah.
Or I'm not your real daddy anyway. You know how much, you know what's out of this world? This mortgage. You gonna help me pay the mortgage with your jumping flying skills, motherfucker? Like, yeah, you Clark Jones in this house.
If he was a superhero, they'd be so aggravated because they couldn't shoot him. They couldn't kill him.
Right. Like, no whoopings. None of that. Figure out
how. I'm talking about what, like during that time he became a superhero.
Yeah.
Like the people, the they would not rock with him. At the time.
Yeah.
But they couldn't do shit to stop him.
Yeah, because you know niggas hate
bulletproof. A bulletproof nigga.
Like when the motherfucker went out for the football team, there they would have been trying to get him. Oh, this nigga can't be tackled, huh? Well, I'm gonna get him. Oh, I'm gonna break this nigga, and you not. Because you remember the original Superman. He was on the football team, but they didn't really let him play because they thought he was a weird kid.
Yeah.
But, and then when he was like, when they was dissing him and shit, he kicked the ball like to another state when they all left. Like that, yo, man, like Superman was wild.
You gave this a lot of thought.
Yeah. I've been, you know, I smoke weed all day, so, you know. But fuck me. What is April's take? Like, so what's your style of, like, I've never seen him perform.
I know.
Yeah, so I'm like.
So put me on the show.
Absolutely. I'm bringing the corner back in April. Ha ha.
We're
at the stand.
All right.
I'm going to get the stand black. I'm going to start blacking up the stand upstairs.
All right.
Josh is doing it, but he ain't doing it. So now I'm going to do all black comics. I'm going to do all black. I'm only booking all black or half Spanish.
Wait.
Holy brown and darker.
Brown and darker comics. That's all that's going to happen on
you
the corner.
You got to be darker than this to get on the show.
Listen to me right now. If you listen to this fucking podcast, start coming to the stand. It's going to be on a Thursday night, kind of like when Martin used to come on back in the day. The show's going to start at 8:30, like Martin did. 8:30-ish. DJ. Got that. DJ Spider. And I'm only bringing on the best mainstream black acts in New York. It's going to be called The Corner 2.0. I'm bringing it back. Derek Gaines. It's going to be fly. I'm doing it myself.
I'm excited.
So, yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be my Def Jam in New York. I'm hosting.
That's going to be.
And I'm going to bring up the good ones. All right. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. So, yeah, I'll put you on that show.
Okay, good.
And get ready.
I'm ready.
Because we do big stuff. I'm doing it like talent used to do it. If you bomb, I'm chipping you.
Yeah. Okay, again, I started Atlanta where they shake your keys.
Yeah,
and booze,
shake the keys
so.
And booze. Cloud Nine.
Yes.
I did show Cloud Nine. I did I can't really say it's my claim to fame, but I just did what is it? The one. The
Apollo?
Uptown.
Oh.
Uptown, okay. Yeah.
Uptown.
But I did the new Uptown, so I can't
Okay.
I can't say I really did.
And you
did
went
it.
On the night where they want you to, like, because you know I have different nights.
No, I did a weekend.
Okay.
So I.
Oh, well.
One of those Fridays stunk. Holy shit. But that Saturday was
okay,
bomb.
You made up
that
for it. Yeah.
Wild.
I never done Atlanta.
Yeah, I didn't have How many shows did I do? I did six. I didn't have six for six. I did. I think I had four for six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was some tough nights. I was in there taking a couple beatings, but you know, that's the game.
But, yeah, that's how.
So you started. So you started in the rough.
Pat Brown down. The, yeah.
So you start like that's the TI rough. The TI like the TI.
Yeah,
time?
I used to. Yeah, I used to like
in the TI era.
TI era, but what's it? What's like Dugan's, right? Just the wing spots, like okay, all in the hood, Greenbrier. And when I started, my dad used to take me to these
okay,
shows.
Okay.
So sometimes he'd be like, he would take L's with me. So I'm up there trying to do my stuff. And then he just there to support me. Then they do a crowd work on him. Like, I done took an L for the night. My daddy get roasted tonight. Oh, you sure you want to do this, baby?
You're like, wait, you her dad?
No, they was just doing crowd work on him.
That's what I'm looking like.
Yeah. She bomber, you the father? Yo, kill this nigga, man.
He's like, can I just drink in peace?
How you gonna bring your dad into a bomb that kills?
I was just starting out, you know. Stage time.
He was like, I did that with an ex-girlfriend once. I dragged her into a bomb by accident.
No.
I was at a fucking Christmas party show out in Philly somewhere at First District Hall on 35th or whatever the fuck.
You had to be clean?
Nah. It was, well, yeah. Yeah, because it was like a gospel thing. So it's basically like, packed to the wall.
Gospel. Like, yeah, gospel?
It was a gospel thing. But it was like Ty Tribbett's Christmas party, whatever. So it's like an open mic.
Okay.
But it's a packed open mic. It's to the wall, 700, 800 people. And whoa. Then people come, gospel artists go up and sing a song or somebody come up and do like a Christian rap or something. But people like to sing. Right, the band is in the back, ready to play whatever. Right, so my dumb ass, I'm ambitious. I'm like, well, you know, I do comedy now. This is when I'm good new in the game. I'm like, yeah. At least I might be 2-3 years in. That's it. And my dumb ass, that Christmas, my mama got me the Eddie Murphy gloves with the whole
thing. Oh, Lord.
All right.
She got
I'm excited. What happened?
Right. She got me the black Eddie Murphy gloves with the holes in them. I'm wearing them.
The knuckles exposed?
Knuckles exposed. I'm wearing them. And the gloves, not even tight enough to look dope. They kind of got a little too much give in them. Oh, so they're kind of baggy.
It was baggy.
So and to add insult to injury, my girlfriend at the time has the tan versions of them shits on with the holes out.
So y'all out there twinning with
Eddie
Murphy.
So we
match it.
Looking
so
like the middle of the ball to ends.
In the middle of this black Christmas party, whatever, I go on stage with holding my belt buckle with the fucking holes out, trying to be Ed with clean shit.
Did you put your collar up?
Nah, I didn't do that.
Okay.
Great.
So, man, when I mean I bombed, I started bombing. Immediately, like I started bombing immediately, right?
Yeah.
So people start booing or doing that sarcastic, ha ha ha, like that fake laugh.
We the worst.
Yeah. Are these church people. Church folk,
nigga.
They don't
the
care.
Band is in the back cackling.
Judging
the fuck out of me, right? I'm getting dogged, right? Ty Tribbett and them laughing at me like, oh, this nigga stinks. And it got so bad the day Apollo played me off stage. So the band was like, one and a two and a bam, 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 bam. Oh, crowd goes nuts. And you got to understand where I'm at. The door's all the way in the back. So you got to walk past 800 people, right?
You got to walk down the aisle.
So you got to understand. The girl I was with, she's like, you can get them, right? In the beginning of it. So after I bombed and had to get off stage, I saw as I was walking on, I saw her take off her clothes.
Oh, she's like, I don't know, relation. Nope.
She, like, all right,
she took off her gloves and kind of just sat there while I walked in the back and had to eat like I bombed so fucking bad that night. It was bad.
Did she
and
leave
every
with
time,
you or did she like?
No, she kind of stayed there for a second and then came back later because she didn't want to see.
So what happened with that relationship?
We stayed together for a little longer, but then.
That was always there.
But as she saw, but the beauty of it was she saw that the thrill didn't leave. Like, I had bombed, but I was like, I got to get back on stage tomorrow.
Yeah.
And she was like, shucks, this nigga believes
he's
in himself.
He's witness right.
of the glow up,
this
right?
nigga believes in himself.
Now they all witness of the glow up.
So now, what it was she was like on some shit where I was working. I was like, I love comedy. And then, you know, she kept saying like shit like, why you always got to be like, every time I say I love you, you'd be like, fuck that, I'm a comedian. She'd start teasing me and shit. She'd be like, that's all you say is fuck that, I'm a comedian. This comedian shit. Why can't you love me like you love your comedy? I'm like, what? I was like, what? What? No. I'm like 23. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
No. I was like, no, I'm not. And then she teased me like, you can't, like, she tried to set It was weird. Like, she tried to take a part of it. Like, let put me where this is at because you're not really that good at this shit. And I was like, all right, no problem. And then I left. And that's when I came to New York, the year after. I was 24. And I was like,
she's the final reason. He's like, you know,
and I was like, I get the fuck out of here. Because it was like, she supported it. She did. But she was like, I was like, I got to be better at this. And I'm not going to get better here. Right. She was already on some. So what about us? I'm like, all right.
Yeah, because like, at that point, I guess that's like a fork. It's like, you you ain't getting no better. So you go like, commit to this.
I'm like,
that's the fork. You chose to get
better.
And
I was like, I'm about to go get fly with this shit. And I left and went to New York, found it was a promised land. I called Monroe, and that's how the whole thing started.
Was Monroe already up here?
No, Monroe was in Philly at his mom crib, right? Just broke up with some chick, and he was doing open mics in Philly. I was the first nigga to leave. And as soon as 2 weeks in, I was like, when I start taking a PATH train, start checking out all the open mics that you could do,
right?
All the shit that was out, me going to the cellar, I saw Godfrey for the first time. I was like, what the fuck? Huh? I called Ro, get your punk ass to New York. He was like, I'm there in a month. So when I had moved to my second apartment in Jersey City, he came up. He was he was like, yeah. And then that's when it all started. He started going to improv and UCB and all that shit. But that's how it started. Because the girl was like, why can't you love me like you love your comedy? And I was like, well, I think.
You chose that day.
I love comedy.
Yeah, that was the decision.
Right. Like, you know what?
Yeah, and that kind of pushed the whole thing for me to move out. And I was like, mom, I'm moving. And my mom was like, you keep saying you're going to New York. Get your punk ass up and go to New York. Because when my mom was mad at me, she'd cuss at me. And that's when I'd get it the most. Because she didn't like cuss because she'd go to church. But when she cussed at me, I was like, oh, you being serious.
Right.
Go to New York then, nigga. Damn. Right. You're here talking about it. Be about it like that. I was like, all right, shit,
mom. That's the motivation you needed.
All right. It was never like loving. It was tough love. Like, go, nigga. Shit. I'm like, all right. Yeah.
My family was the opposite. My dad was like, don't go. Stay here.
Really?
Do comedy here. I'm like, I'm out. Yeah. I'm an only child, so.
I'm only child.
And a daughter. I'm a daddy's girl.
Oh, shit.
Like, don't you need to save? I was like, nah, people move to New York, $2 in their pocket. I'm out.
And that ain't true.
I know. I actually had some money in the bank. I actually worked.
Oh, you had a job.
Like, $2 in your pocket, but also have like a card.
I had a couple thousand. I moved for a few stacks.
You good? Yeah. So, a few stacks. Okay. Don't show off. Because I know in Atlanta is the goddamn promised land.
But my dad was like, listen, get a job you don't care about. Just work and get the money, come back home, and then move to New York if you gotta move. I was like, all right, I can do that.
That's a lot of steps.
Yeah.
That's a lot of trickle
down. I stayed home for like a year, and I got
some
random jobs.
That's a lot of diluted shit right there. You gotta go through
something. Parents always want you to be as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
Like, my mom was like pushing it back. She was like, yo, just wait until after the holidays. Wait until after this date. It's like.
My mom said, this is what my mom said. She said, go, nigga. I will see you when you get back. She knew I was gonna fuck up. And that's what made it great. She was like, I'll see you when you get back. So when she said
maybe
that, I was
been like visiting because New York is so close.
Nah, she was like, I'll see you when you get back.
Like, we coming a little further. Like, you could go home in an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's definitely a plane ride and some preparation.
Yeah. So. And that's fun. But I got a whole day job. I was a janitor for a little while. Like, that whole thing just to support the dream. But when I started just doing comedy and not giving a fuck about that job, coming in late, calling out all the time, that's when I was oh shit, I really do. Because I'm about to struggle for this shit. And I did.
That's the thing about comics. And that's why I don't date y'all. Because you will do anything for your craft. And so you will quit your job.
Let's fucking talk about it.
She
said,
you
be at work like. I date y'all niggas.
Me that's too, great. Because she you said, can't work like, do you know who I am? Like, no one knows who you are. But it's like, I'm going to be famous one day. Like, that's the mentality you
why
have.
Why they shit talk you at work? You be like, you'll see.
Yo, man.
But you will be homeless for your craft. So I'm like, we both can't be homeless trying to pursue our dreams. Somebody
got
to hold it
down. I got heckled by coworkers. I used to get heckled by, now I'd invite niggas out and be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing up there, man? I'm like, I got to see you tomorrow at the job.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I got coworkers that say they gonna see me for 5 years. They're like, I'm gonna see you, dog. I'm gonna pull up on you.
I'm gonna pull up.
Yeah.
I'm gonna come.
Where you at tonight?
I'm gonna
bring my girl.
But back to the name, I'm glad I didn't, because you know how jobs like research and stuff. So because my name was different, jobs couldn't find out that I was doing comedy, and so that kind of helped me a little bit.
Look at you, Bruce Wayne. Shit, all right, Bat Lady. Yeah.
Do you care anymore?
No.
So you do comedy full time now?
No, I work at iHeartRadio. So
okay, cool. But that's still. It's something with entertainment.
Yeah,
at least
I'm trying
in
to
the
do
game.
Something that still be a segue. Yeah. Like, either way, I'm still.
I can see if you was working like T-Mobile.
Right.
And like really in there. Like, I'm head manager. I got to wear the pink shirt and right. all that bullshit. No, but you
like, I got to leave. I got a show. They don't care.
Nah.
No.
Yeah, so no. Because I was a janitor at a police station and I used to clean toll booths on the parkway.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an easy one because yeah. I was asleep half the time from hanging out in New York all night.
Right.
And I kept that job. And that was a union job. So it took them like 3 years to get me fired. So it was cool. So I had perfect like I was setup. Nice. But then when it got tough was when I turned 28, when everything went downhill. Like comedy started, but I didn't have shit. I was driving back and forth to my mom's house because I went back to my mom's house.
Okay.
So
she was right.
She was right. I'll see you when you get back. And I was back struggling for a little while. And yeah. then, you know, shit. She just turned around slowly. First, I moved back to Brooklyn Heights,
mm-hmm.
and then I moved back. It was just so many back and forth. I moved out of my mom's house four fucking times.
I think I did two times. Yeah,
4 to 6 times I moved in and out that house.
Okay,
so you know it's
how long was it till the first time?
Until I got broke ass game show. That's when it all changed.
I mean, like how long was the first stretch before?
First stretch, I stayed out for, I think I stayed out for like 2 years or a year or two. Because the parkway, and it was Turnpike Parkway. I was still making money to pay rent. And then when that parkway shit, I started getting suspended where I couldn't cover rent no more. I left. I went back home. And I thought I had failed and fucked up. And, you know, I couldn't make the rent, blah, blah, blah. And then I moved back to Union City. That shit fell through. Had to come back home. And then I moved to Brooklyn Heights. That shit fell through. Had to move back home. Then I landed a TV show finally.
Were those like gaps in time? Were you like at least in those places for a little
bit? Yeah, a little bit. I was there for a little bit. I got shit done each time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Brooklyn Heights was the one. I big up Brooklyn Heights because when I moved in, I was roommates with Pete Davidson. And then me and him got JFL that year, 2013. And that's when shit started to get like cool because after that when I moved back and then I got a job on that goofy TV show, I got enough episodes to maintain rent for a little while. That's when I left for good. That's the one where my mom cried. She was like, oh, it's for real now.
Yeah.
She teared up on that last one. When I got that TV money, I was like, Mom, I'm doing this for real.
I may not see you except for the holidays.
When I was getting MTV proper coverage and the show was getting popular and I was making bread. So right. I was like, yeah, I'm going to stay out this time. And then she was like, yeah, I could tell.
You not coming back.
That was 2015. In 2015, she was like, you ain't coming back this time.
Yeah,
so you'll visit, but you're going to be out this time. Right. And I've been out ever since.
Yeah, I remember I used to see you around that time, like 2015, like over down or at the stand and stuff. Like that. And every once in a while, I knew your comedy club.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's crazy. I thought you were just like hardcore in New York from that time.
I had to maintain it.
Right, me too.
Sleeping in the gym. I'm not sleeping in the gym. Sleeping at the job, showering at the gym, going to New York, coming back, driving my car to the job, falling asleep in the car. Like, all that. It was a lot of that. I felt I was sleeping in the car a little. Woo.
I was, like, brand new. I remember guys had stories about, like, doing shows with you in Jersey. Be like, yo, that dude would just obliterate the room and stuff like
and
that.
And I'm like, man.
Last game show was on. Seeing the ads in the subway.
I was trying to fuck around. But still, that was my first attempt at staying in the city.
Yeah.
So now my goal is get to Manhattan, and that's the biggest one.
Oh, so you've been in Brooklyn the whole time.
I've been in Brooklyn 5 years. So it's like, now I look at the city like, all right, this is my next goal. Because I'm not staying in Bushwick. Bushwick is
too.
That's the level up. I got to get to the city.
What's ideal? Where are the city?
I know, but where?
Gramercy Park, okay. 26th, 3rd, like 27th.
You already got to pick that. Yeah. Pass by, like, I'm going to need it.
As far as up, no, my first joint, Kips Bay. I'm going to just stay in that big ass. Those it's like almost the projects, but it's not.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Kips Bay Towers. I'm gonna stay in Kips Bay Towers.
Right by the theater.
Yeah, right by the old stand.
Okay.
Yeah. So I can walk everywhere. That's where everything
is
right there.
New York is over there. New York Comedy
Club. All that shit. Yeah. Right up New York Comedy Club. And then lastly, the last pop is just Upper West Side, and then I'm done. And I'm just gonna be Black Billy Crystal.
You're gonna live in Connecticut. You're gonna live in Connecticut after that.
No, I'm not moving to Connecticut. I'm moving Upper West Side.
LA.
I'm talking about like fucking.
Hey, you gonna do LA at all?
Would you move to LA?
Ugh.
I feel like you've done that so much.
I don't even like process the fact that I might have to go out there because I'm going out there next month to do sitcom shit. And I'm like, they always like, you got to come out here, man. But the way they say it is just so slithery.
Dog, I feel like there was like a couple years ago, you was out there for like
I was out grip. There too long. That like, shit. But nah, it's a draining place. I find no happiness in LA.
Really?
With all these motherfuckers.
With all the sun.
Outside of LA, I think it's just LA.
Yeah.
Oh God! Of...
But I haven't. No, it's just
not even like Malibu. Like it's so pretty.
I just don't like it over there. I go, all right, I get it, yeah. But I don't like it. Some I just morale, like some the East.
Boost to being out there.
I just yeah. like the East, man. I'll go out. If I get fly,
you
fly.
You liking this cold? I still ain't. I'm never used to
this. And you never will be. But you got to understand, miss, if you a comic like me and yeah. like this if motherfucker.
Yeah, you're going to stay here.
You're going to stay here because when it snows, the only two things that's open is the movie theater and the comedy club. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, I'm good. So yeah, it's like. So
that's the LA that's the downside of LA. Like I think of everything else, it's like great. Like it's good weather, it's nice out there. But then I think about the comedy, then I'm like,
the comedy scene is the whole reason why. Yeah,
no, yeah. So and I got into the game to do exactly this stand up. Yeah. I mean, all this other shit is dope, but you know, I got in the game to you know fuck around.
Right. Yeah,
you know, I fuck around. You know, like what Dave Chappelle saying? Ain't trying to be right, just trying to fuck around. Trying to be right, just trying to you know tell Trump jokes. I'm not soapboxing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm just up here, you know, trying to make people giggle and shit. You get it.
April, you
Miss Body?
You never had to move back once you came to New York.
No, I refused. My first year.
Too far, right?
It's
too far.
But my first year was rough. I went through an eviction.
Talk about it.
Like, I was here, because you know how New Yorkers do, everything's a scam. I was in an illegal sublet, didn't know it. I moved in with these girls, didn't know none of them was on the lease. Nobody told me that. And I called somebody to check on the landlord or something to check on a leak. And it was like, why you got locks up? They was asking me every question that had nothing to do with the problem.
Okay.
And then next thing you know, we get eviction notices. And at the time.
Who came to fix this leak?
I was like, yo, what's the number for the super? And I thought the super was going to call.
She snitched.
Anyway.
It was me. It was me.
She snitched.
But they should have told me. None of us are on this lease.
Oh, so you wasn't properly
informed. No one told me. You should at least say.
Straight up.
You got to let people know.
Did somebody else. Place look nice?
April, yeah. You don't get yourself murdered. I'm just
listen, it was a rent stabilized, right? $1,000, three bedroom, big apartment in Harlem.
You should have known that was
$2,400 a month,
too
though.
Too good to be true.
But no one told me.
Discernment.
I'm here for 1 month.
Atlanta is where church is at. Churches teach you about discernment. You should have known something was fishy.
How? I signed something.
I see that.
You signed something.
That's when they're crying. I wasn't even there a month yet. I wasn't even there a month yet. I knew something was up when my first month it was time to pay rent. I was like, who we write the check to? Some chick in the Dominican Republic. I'm like, some chick in DR. Like, that's our.
Huh?
Right. That's what they told me. What? That's what I was like, this is kind of such.
Somebody was cleaning money. Somebody that they was using that was a front.
So we went through an eviction, which was a blessing and a curse because I ain't paid rent for like 6-7 months because it takes that long to get evicted. In Atlanta, you evicted in like 30 days. Here,
it's like a whole. You got to get like
the whole Jewish holidays and all of that stuff.
Like 90 business days.
But then Damian Lemon, he was
D.
Like,
gotta get D on the show too.
I had met him like before I even moved to New York. So I was telling him we keep getting all these eviction notices. He's like, yo, I get them all the time too. I know what to do with those. He was making it like they post-it notes. Just friendly reminders. I'm like, these ain't little reminders. Like, we about to get out of this apartment. But I saved up money that way. But it was still like, I didn't know where I was going to live. And the other girls was like, so the dude who owned the apartment, he didn't want to give it up. That's what it was. He kept trying to fight it.
Okay.
And they was like, you charging them double the rent. It's rent stabilized. We're definitely taking this apartment back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I moved four times.
What the price you had was double his rent?
Yeah. The apartment was only $1,000. He was charging $2,400 split.
I feel like that's like the New York come up, though.
It is.
You sublet your extra room for, like, you know, most of your rent.
He sublet the whole apartment.
Wow. His sister. That motherfucker.
He was living in Jersey. The chick was in DR.
Smart.
And he was just making money. And if he was smart, he would have said, this is what it is from jump, y'all. And
yeah,
just,
keeping it real is also a smart play. Just with the people that's involved, because you don't want something like what happened, happened.
Right.
Because people.
And then I was trying to like scam my way into another apartment.
Oh, then you then became I, then a scammer.
Right, then I'm
yo,
like,
this shit is wild.
You think I was born in this,
you just turned into this whole thing, like, New York guys.
I didn't know I was a criminal.
This is what New York is. You're like, I didn't know I was a criminal. Like, that is what happens. You like, oh, so this
I was about to feel bad for you and this shit. Yeah, and then I tried to scam my way into some shit. I feel like I learned from the best.
I'm like, you know what,
I'm going to go with it. I see where I'm at.
I see where this is going. I can give
you're adjustable. Yeah. All right.
This girl learned the game. She's like, all right. Yeah. Oh, all right.
She's like, so I'm reactionary.
I was trying to scam into another apartment while I was waiting for that to come through.
Well, look
I was
at
like,
you, chameleon.
Do some documents. Wow. And then I was like, yo, let me stay on your couch. My friend stayed in Long Island City. So he let me crash on his couch for like 6 weeks. That apartment fell through. And then I found an apartment I'm at now.
Wait. His apartment fell through while you just stayed on his
couch? No, the apartment I was trying to scam fell through.
That's so funny.
Oh, like, you might just be bad luck. You might just stay on his couch and he got evicted.
Four times in 1 year. And I haven't moved since. I've been in the same apartment now for like 9 years. I have not moved.
It's everything different. Niggas get car accidents. Motherfuckers get evicted all the time. People have their shit.
I lived in a room with two cops when I was on the road, like my first year, like up here in a room, like niggas in a bunk bed, like having beef with one of them as they talk to me, talk shit down on the top bunk. I'm sitting there like, what the fuck?
That's pretty wild.
Like that's what I was like dealing with in my first year of comedy. Like yeah, that's pretty regular, I guess. That's like,
it is.
Nah, man. I remember my first year of comedy. I was coming fresh off a cruise. My mom had took me on for some shit.
To celebrate your moving out?
No, because my mom never kicked me out. That's the crazy part.
That's what
she never told me to stay, but mom's never said leave.
She was dropping big hits, though. Keep your ass out was a big old...
She was like, no, because I kept talking that big New York shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think she wanted him to, as a parent, wanted him to hit that advance.
Because my mom had a way. Because, you know, my dad wasn't, you know, I'm single on... Single parent home because my dad lived in D.C.
Okay.
Well, Arizona, but whatever. So my mom, her way of, you know, I guess trying to raise a man because she couldn't do it. She'd just be extra stern and go, okay, figure it out, nigga. Like that's, I'm like, all right, I see that I don't have a father figure. So, you know, that's why I was, you know, I had, my pastor was a big influence to me while I was growing up in church. So, you know, just to get that man side of the shit was just fine. But, you know, it was just me and my mom. I remember one time, like I had a flat tire and I called her. She was like, nigga. Just figure look that at, out. I'm like,
I know how to change a flat tire.
Triple A.
My dad taught me that.
But I didn't teach. It wasn't teach shit. I'm like, all right, man. I remember seeing this somewhere. I'm in the rain. My mom did not help. And and I thanked her for it. I was like, you know
in
what?
In the rain? That's like.
I had to figure it out because I was out there. I was coming back from a bad breakup and went to Massachusetts to try to rekindle flames with this girl. It did not work out.
And I took a 10-hour
bus home, sad as fuck. Then it was raining. And I had a Pontiac. So it was just like, it was a heavy-ass car. I had to do it in the rain. Came home somewhere with my mom. Was just like, go to sleep. And, you know, it's just like my mom had a different way. So she didn't kick me out. She was like, all right.
Tough love.
Two-door
to four-door. I guess I've seen this. Like, she did it like, she read it in a book. I've seen this somewhere. You got to be tough with them if they really want to do something. All right, then go. And then I was like, all right. So she never kicked me out. It wasn't even hints. My mom thought I was funny. She liked me around the house. So, you know, but whatever. So you wouldn't date comics. Smart.
Yeah.
It's just a smart thing to do because I've dated, it's just never good.
Plus, Rain Pryor, I met her once. So she's like, her dad told her also not to date comics. Like, let's see, making some money.
Yeah.
Don't even bother.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, okay.
But what if he's charming and funny?
Don't.
Well, that changes things.
There's civilian niggas that
they
do
all
that
charming
too.
And funny.
Right, they all, right. Here I am, still
they
single.
They all got
charming
presses.
And funny.
I don't.
Look how that's working.
Still single. Bye bye, bye bye.
So what is
it's
charming?
The month of love, right? She said that before we started. It's the month of love.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not.
It's the month of hustle. Let me explain something
every
right now. Napoleon, can you agree?
Okay.
April, can you agree
that
Black History Month is the worst month to be a black man financially?
You talk to somebody who don't celebrate
like
Valentine's Day, though, so.
Huh?
I feel like that about December.
Okay.
Yes, December's worse.
And it's why I say, because the 14th is Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And then the 15th is side hoe day, right? If you got one, because you got a, you know, half off candy.
Is that like a rule?
It's not a rule, but I've seen it. Like, you know, motherfuckers go out and take they, you know.
You always learn where you stand on that.
Yeah,
that's
on
the
15th when it's half off everything.
If he can't take you out on the 14th and he like, call, you already know where you stand.
You know where you stand. I've seen motherfuckers still go out. And this one was a weekend. Peep game on this shit. All the money lost this weekend if a nigga got a girl, a side hoe, and then he out here fucking other chick. That mean Valentine's Day, the 15th, All-Star Weekend. It was All-Star. All this
and
happened the same week.
CIAA.
And then, on top of that, All-Star Week, and then it was President's Day weekend. All this, it was like, it's so much money lost because you got to spend.
And you got to turn around and pay rent 29
and
days.
And pay rent.
This year, usually 28
yeah, man.
Days.
I'm going to say that February is fucked up for us, man. If you out there.
Why rent the same? Less days on the books.
Yeah, All-Star
weekend. I don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
So. Hey, you shouldn't. Good for
it's every day.
Even when you were in a relationship?
No. It's corny. I just feel like Valentine's Day should be every day. If you wait until the 14th to show me some love, then won't even eat.
It's like, what about gifts?
She said it.
I don't care. Like, I don't, not on Valentine. I'd rather get a gift randomly or some flowers just because. Like, I've just never been so a 14th.
Celebrate, so if you pull up with a gift on the 14th,
I'm not going to not be like, no, don't give it
like
to me.
Like, they're a follower, but in your mind, you're like, he a follower.
Nah. I feel like I always date somebody who's like, they're really into that. I'm not like into that. So I always date somebody who loves the day. And I mean, I'm like, fine, if you want to celebrate it, just buy me some candy the next day when it's half off.
Half so off.
That's
half off.
I'd rather
candies.
Get my box of chocolate on the 15th.
Box of chocolate. Your own half off candy.
Yeah.
It's only $10.
I ain't independent, but buy me some damn candy on the 15th.
Like, listen, I ain't not independent. Give me that half
give me my turtles on the 15th.
I gave you a break. You do nothing on the 14th.
I gave my turtles on the 15th.
You know what I'm
my
saying? Turtles on the 15th.
Throw that.
Right.
Give it to me.
So
I want my half off chocolate turtles.
I'm sensible. Save your money.
Yeah. You trying to save come up money. With what?
Fuck these roses, nigga.
But I love flowers. I do love flowers.
Oh, you went back on that one. You're like, I do love
flowers.
Oh,
but not on Valentine's Day. I'm saying I just want flowers.
Somebody
want
to be loved over here. That's that. I just hey, fellas, listen.
I don't get the connection with flowers, but, you know, people love
people
flowers.
Like smells, man. People
that
like
too.
Sweet smells. Bad smells
makes
turn you off to
look
shit.
Really pretty.
Like, she smells fantastic right now. That's why I'm leaning back like this.
I can't smell at all right now.
You out of your mind, bruh. Get them nasals right. Sweet smelling women are from God.
Be out here running around these streets.
So wait,
it's cold
we agree
wet.
That December is the most expensive month. Yeah. I agree with you because it's always.
Well, I only spend money on mom.
February could be
aunt.
Dope. Depends on how quick you get them taxes turned. But
W-2 me eat. Y'all get your W-2s.
I got somebody. I got like coupons coming in.
About
I got somebody W-2s. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I hate doing taxes.
I don't like talking
taxes
about taxes on the air.
Stink.
So next question.
Black people.
I don't need the IRS.
I never understand it. Why.
I don't
black
want them flagging this shit. This is no
right,
tax.
That's the last thing I need.
Keywords used in this episode.
You independent and then freelance. Like, no, this is not a
let's
good time.
This tier is
that's
somewhere else.
Man. You got to save receipts. It's bank records and receipts. Because I'm not going to lie
I got
to
a job that takes taxes out of each check. I move furniture.
Oh, okay. I need
see that? This shit is different. Because you got to figure out what you owe and all
right,
this.
Right, it's different
now,
over here, yeah.
And I got an S-Corp, so it's weird. But,
yeah, not a single person has ever paid me to do comedy.
Yeah, I've never been paid for comedy. You guys get paid?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I get
I don't know anything about this.
I get valuable stage time.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I just do it for the love.
You know how hard it is to write off exposure? Oh, shit.
Uncle Sam.
I got exposure. Can I pay Uncle Sam 33% of this exposure?
Yeah.
Over there talking about landlord. Hey, dog, I got some drink tickets in my pocket.
I
can't remember where they're for.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna go to the grocery
you ever
store.
Go to a club trying to remember, one. Like, which one? Y'all take this one? Okay, what about
is it
this
the blue one or the red
remember,
one?
I'm trying to remember which one they take. Like, yeah.
Oh, you guys got a chip.
Oh, hello.
Oh,
I left that one
out. I don't got no chip.
Okay.
What's this? Somebody give me a drink ticket. Can I spend this somewhere? Can I get a slice of pizza with this drink?
You ever got a drink ticket with rules on the back?
Like, yes. Yeah, man.
This is actually just half off.
Yeah.
And just well drinks only.
You ever stand with a bunch of open micers? They all smell like they hungry. Like, it's just
if you're the only
pizza.
Comic that order food, they all be right. It could just be fries. Like, so what's up with that? Like,
they come over like piranha, nigga. Yeah. I remember them days.
No,
it was
us. They start shouting out your credit. Like, dog, I saw that thing you did. Congrats. Oh, you got fries? That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's really wild.
All right, let me get one or something.
But yeah, man. Writing off taxes stink. Black people are real good at math around taxes, you know. The returns that I hear people getting, like, yeah, man, I got a 9 G's, man. You know, like, what?
We like to squeeze it, right?
How did
get
how?
All the juice out.
Yeah, man. We love getting some shit that was already ours.
Right. You
know, we're claiming your uncle.
Yeah.
He been gone for years. He been gone for years.
Let's put him in as a dependent. Put Uncle Jesse. Put dead ass Uncle Jesse
like,
as a
what's Uncle Jesse's real name?
What's his real name? Yeah, which one of his wives knows his real name?
Uncle Spoon. What's his real
don't
name?
Don't you got like four
Spoon?
Families?
Yeah.
Uncle Jesse had four separate families.
Four wives.
Yeah, four wives. See which one knew his real name so we can write him off.
Which one did he follow up with?
Claiming a dude 6 years independent.
Yeah, but no, man. That's crazy. Well, you know, I pray that both of you and I too start making real dough, make it doing what you do.
Yes.
Because this is what y'all love, right?
So yeah.
Put enough love into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, but I ain't gonna and put that juju out follow. There. People compensate, but.
Make it hustle. It take a while.
Yeah,
comedy is slow.
I'm not complaining at all about comedy right now. I was just bullshitting.
That's
just
so
for
funny.
The tax purposes.
Right. This, we always saying this for.
I wasn't looking at Uncle
Once
Sam.
Once we turn this off, we get right. Yeah.
But yeah, we fired.
Work.
Look how he blink it. We are fine.
Yeah, we good.
Yes.
But yeah, man.
Conversations up top.
Hey. So funny.
So come out, but
that's so funny. Yeah, it was a long time of dollar slices and halal food, halal meat that we shared.
Yeah,
we used to share the halal like
it
street
is a lot
meat
of food,
as we used to call it. Street meat.
Dog, there's nothing like having another nigga be like, dog, why you get hot sauce now?
And rest in peace.
I like hot sauce. I can't
rest
do the cream sauce on my stomach.
That's so funny. Rest in peace, Chris Cotton, because I remember when we all used to be broke. You know the turnstile? You got to push yourself through. We'd hug each other three deep.
Aww.
And go through the turnstile. As a group, it would be me, you, and Chris, Dave Monroe, and Reggie. And we'd
y'all squeak. Some big dudes trying
and
to
I
all
know,
of us?
We'd have the whole... And
nobody
just
wanted to just push the door?
Yeah.
Right, no. Nobody thought about
it'd be,
that?
No, it'd be those turnstiles that only got the twist.
It don't have like
but the...
Oh, yeah, right. And you'd be like, oh. Fuck. And then we were like, all right, how many swipes niggas
there's
got?
Usually that, there's usually that exit door on the side, though.
No, the one... Where's it at? The one on the R stop next to NYU. It's down near the cellar, but it's like
Prince.
That. I think it's Broadway.
Broadway?
Is it Broadway? It's the one where the schools. I can't even. It's where the
NYU
Wendy's is at.
Then.
Bleecker Broadway. It's on Broadway.
I think about the stop by. Somewhere.
But the R. But the R down there only got the one that you got to push around. So we hug up.
And there's no R train at Bleecker and Broadway.
We're not Bleecker, bro. That's the 6. I'm talking about down the street, but I can't.
I know what you're talking about.
I can't pinpoint
I
it in my head
bro.
Right now.
It might be bro.
Yeah.
But yeah, we used to have to do that.
Oh, huddle
so
up.
Yeah, wow. Huddle up, niggas. And we got to push through this train. Everybody trying to get home. And it was wild. I remember in Union City, I used to scrounge up 350 just to take the Poppy bus into the city and just see how the fuck I would get out.
Yeah, that shit was like me, TK, Eagle. We would do shit like that. Yeah. Just like running through the, like, whole, like swiping both of us.
Yeah, all that. It was a struggle. Yeah, don't date.
I remember going out. And
struggling
like,
niggas.
I remember going I out and like, niggas, being like, niggas being like, I'll find 275 to get a hold. Like having that type of energy.
Yeah, I'll find change. It's 275, right?
Yeah, I'll find it to get home. We'll get home.
Yeah, man. Pay your dues.
Shout out to TK. That was my roommate.
TK,
too.
I'm running.
TK, he's still out here. Eagle, all those dudes.
Yeah.
Alex Babbitt.
Yeah, oh, they all working. They all running around as the new guys. I see y'all.
What's up?
With your little coats and shit trying to be fly.
With your little coats.
With your little coats.
It's wintertime.
With your
seeing y'all, I'll be like, well, damn. Look at that. This is the new generation of niggas. And I'm old looking like, damn, look at the young guys.
Oh, I
working.
Feel like...
Dog, we see young guys as hip killing it.
You're right.
Shit. Man, this is young guys is murdering out here. Ooh, you know, I guess I'm the new
class.
I
feel like everybody I've started with. So I think my first special, because I'm going to talk about how I started with everybody. Like, I'm always in a new class.
Okay.
So I'm like, because I kind of came up with Carlos and Clayton and them and like Noah. And then it's
killers.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Absolute and killers.
Yeah, so it's like each class, I'm like, I gotta stop coming up with all these different classes at some point. Like, I need to get my cap and gown.
You do have your different classes, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like, who you open mic with, who you were first passed with at a certain club, those guys in my class. Like, JFL, those guys in classes. It's all, like, different classes, yeah.
And then when I started, I used to go to Looney Bin. I used to do comedy every when I first moved here. So I'd be at Staten Island doing random shows. Well, that's how I met Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
And he was like 16 or 17 at the time.
Well, shit, yeah. So, you know,
so I'm like, I didn't know too many people. But that's because I'd be like, I get up when I get up. Like, I've always been kind of inconsistent with it, except for the last few years.
Right,
so I'm like, all right, I'm going to be serious about
there you go.
So, there we have it.
Seriousness. That's nice. You got anything to plug, Nap?
We have our monthly show.
April. April, do you got anything to plug?
My bad.
That's good. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Plug.
Monthly show at the Lantern, 8 o'clock, every first Sunday.
Every first Sunday at the Lantern, 8 o'clock.
So the next one is when?
The first. March 1st, yeah.
Can I come back in April and do a spot?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yep. A little workout.
You can come
no,
by.
No, don't book me. Just like if I walk in April sometime, just, you know.
You got it.
Thank you.
So of course.
I don't
want to
be booked. I'm trying to be that fly.
Can where can people find you, April?
Where can people find you, April? Tell them. Give me your social handles and stuff.
My social media name, April Body, BODY, on the gram.
Woo, I like how you said Facebook, why. Right. You raised your eyebrow when you said
that. I did.
BODY.
Why? Yeah, on the socials.
Okay, and Nap, tell him, please.
Plugs, I'll be in Boston next month.
Oh, shit.
14th.
You ain't shit, but you're Boston, nigga.
Yeah.
Do it, don't tell.
That'd be
try
dope.
Try to grab some other stuff. It'll all be on the website, napoleon-email.com.
Thanks for being my special guest host, man. I appreciate it.
Of course,
it.
Man.
Funny as fuck.
Napoleon Email on Instagram, Venmo, hit me up.
Jackass. All right. And ladies and gentlemen, like I said before.
Thanks for having me, Derek.
Yeah, thanks, man. And everybody, remember, I'm just around, all right? I'm a comedy goon. I travel everywhere. I'll be in Hollywood soon. I'll be
you
back
a
in
website?
LA. Website. I got one, but this has been under construction because I'd be trying to give a fuck.
Instagram,
I'd be trying to give a fuck about this computer shit, but I'm just not savvy with the fucking
IG laptop. The best way to find out what
Wix
you're doing?
Website. Like, Wix got all my money. I'm
I don't know.
A
what
you got a TikTok?
Anything? I got an Instagram.
Where can they find out your shows?
Check out Derek's OnlyFans page.
Go on the gram. Go on Instagram and look up The Great Boy. THEGREATBOY. I'm doing a show every weekend somewhere, but I'm about to go to L.A., for a little while.
You gonna keep that?
That he's so excited about.
You gonna keep that Instagram name? You never gonna change it?
I'm never changing it. The Great Boy will stand.
I've heard people say that and they get some big shit. Like, I gotta change it.
No, I'm going to make it famous. I'm gonna make it fucking famous.
All right,
it's just like how I gotta do it. Because I got that name when Instagram started. Like the first 2 weeks of Instagram, when Instagram came out, The Great Boy, and I got it.
We're going to be on the lookout for this special in a couple years, The Great Boy.
No, actually, look out for Goodlum.
Goodlum.
So I've got good shit coming up this year, ladies and gentlemen. I got a lot of fucking shit coming.
Goodlum is not out yet?
Goodlum is not out yet, but okay. The things that will lead up to Goodlum, goddamn. So stay tuned.
I'm excited.
It's going to be
Goodlum.
Up. It ain't on TV. I'm talking about movie shit, all right? Anyway. So, yeah, make sure y'all download Fuckboy Ground Zero right now. It's on iTunes and all platforms. It's a good album. It's a good comedy album. And like I said before, it's an origin story of a man in New York just trying to figure out how being single in a life of in the Big Apple. So I love everybody here. April Body, Napoleon DeMille. I'm Derek Gaines.
Thank you.
This has been No Need for Apology.